So I got up this morning.
Yeah.
And the last couple of days, I have not been very productive. I have not felt like a productive human being.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Today is going to be different. I'm okay. going to get so much done. It'll be amazing. Because I got up, I woke up at like 5 o'clock and I slept off and on until a little before six. But I was waking up like every 10 minutes because my fiance's alarm kept going off because she kept hitting snooze.
Very convenient.
Yeah. So she got up and I said, all right, fine, I'll get up. And I started getting myself organized, started cleaning up a little bit, getting my shit together. And I said, you know what? Things are going to go well today. And a few hours later, I have not been as productive as I had set out to be, and I have no idea where the day went. But
So did you leave the house?
I did leave the house.
That's good. That's good.
I ran a quick errand, and I went to the mailbox to check for mail, and then I remembered that it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day.
Martin Luton.
I realized it was Martin Luton Day, right?
Yeah,
Martin Luton. Martin Luton Day, and there's no mail on there. So then I felt like an idiot. So then I disguised it in case my neighbors were watching, like I was doing something else.
You know, that's kind of weird, because we had mail today, and maybe just no one got it from Saturday, because we were all kind of out. But I definitely got mail out of my mailbox today, because I also did not think of it.
Well, yeah, maybe it was, maybe it was from Saturday.
Yeah, because there shouldn't be mail today. It's Martin Luton, so, yeah.
Yeah, no mail on Martin Luther Day.
Well,
yeah, so there's that. But I don't know. I don't know where the day went. I mean, I got stuff done, and it's not like I was sitting around playing Skyrim for 3 hours and I was like, oh shit, I should do something.
Yeah,
I felt like I was working pretty consistently throughout the day. I guess I just maybe I just wasn't working as fast as I was like, hoping. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, sometimes, you know, you overextend yourself. You think you can do all this shit that you can't do. I don't know.
Yeah. Plus, I might be getting sick. I don't know. It might just be the weather.
Yeah.
Because now it's like 10 degrees outside, and it's supposed to be like below zero in the morning, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I get that, too.
Schools are getting delayed openings.
Oh, really? Snow? Do you guys have snow?
We don't really have that much snow, but I guess they actually do delayed openings for anything less than 10 degrees.
Oh, really?
Around here, because so many kids take the bus, that I guess that's a concern with the kids.
Yeah, those kids.
With the kids waiting outside. So I think it's 10 degrees and below, they do a delayed opening. I think we're supposed to get some snow, but most of it's not really going to affect us. But it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold as balls.
Yeah.
Just snow miser's balls. Just his icicle-covered balls. I don't know. I didn't have anywhere to go with that.
So, I was looking at...
porn.
It wasn't porno. It was there was an advertisement on the television, and it was for a dating website, and I really took to it. It looked great. It's called farmersonly.com. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, apparently it's existed for 5 years. I'm reading the little press release here. Let's see. I'm really lonely, but I'm too busy to date during the harvest season. Thousands of singles sow the seeds of love on farmersonly.com. Yeah, yeah, it's really good. Their slogan, under the like the title of FarmersOnly.com, it just says, "City folks just don't get it."
There's got to be a joke in there involving the word "ho." let's see. Plenty of hoes in the barn.
Yeah, lots of hoes on Farmers Only. Hold on. Let's see here.
Now, is it only farmers like men and women, or can it be like women that want to date farmers, like male farmers?
Let me see here. Hold on, I got their release about the history of it here. Let me say, FarmersOnly.com launched just over 5 years ago and quickly became the, all capitals, place for farmers and ranchers to meet like-minded people. In the last 5 years, membership went from 2,000 to well over 100,000 members. Despite the name, Farmers Only isn't limited to only farmers. The rapid growth is also coming from just good old-fashioned down-earth people who live in small towns and rural areas. Okay, so I guess there's your answer.
Okay.
There have been countless successful matches and friendships made on the site. I get thank you emails and phone calls almost daily. In fact, there have been hundreds of marriages since FarmersOnly.com began.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, wait. From the website?
Yeah. Or no, well, if he's just saying there's been hundreds of marriages since the site began 5 years ago.
And listen, at least one of them has to have come from my website, so.
Right. He's just doing the math, you know. He says he's got over 100,000 members.
Odds are, you know.
Recently, hold on. While talking to one farmer, Jerry made quite a discovery. Jerry is the founder, Jerry Miller. Recently divorced, she expressed her frustration of how difficult it was to meet someone new. "I'm ready to give up," she said. "How am I going to meet someone working on a farm all day?"
She goes, I just want to meet a man whose hands are all calloused and rough.
Oh, she loves the rough hands.
I when he touches me, I want it to feel like sandpaper.
Oh my God. I already know everyone that lives around here, which isn't many people. Maybe I'll try online dating. She signed up on one of the biggest national dating sites after their conversation. A month later, Jerry asked how her luck was with the online dating. She replied, even more frustrated, "The men who have been contacting me don't understand the lifestyle of a farmer," she's told Jerry. "They don't have a clue." This would later lead to the site's slogan, "City folks just don't get it." This is really interesting.
There's a lot of weird dating websites out there. I like the Christian Mingle.
Oh yeah, Christian Mingle.
Which I don't really get. I mean, like, I get it, but it's like,
I mean, I'll say this about the Christian Mingle. They are at the very least marketing towards a larger demographic than the farmers only.
No, that's what it was. It was ChristianMingle.com, and their slogan is "Find God's match for you." And
yes,
I kept thinking,
right,
if it's God's match, wouldn't he just make that happen?
Yeah, no, you got to go online for it.
You got to go online for God's match.
Let's see.
There's some other good ones out there, too. Like, I was looking at it one day, and there's one for, like, if you want to date a redhead, if you want to date a tall guy, if you want to date a midget. I think they're all, like, the same. A bunch of them are, like, all the same kind of network. I think they all pull from the same database. But they break it down, so if you want to date a specific person,
yeah,
you can find just those people.
So I'm on, like, some of the success stories for Farmers Only. Some of them are pretty good. Let's see. Elizabeth writes, I had joined FarmersOnly.com because I was looking for a man who enjoyed doing things outside. I thought a farmer would be perfect. After a couple of months, I ran across Reed's profile. I clicked on it, but I lost my internet connection. I tried to find his profile again, but I didn't have any luck. The next day, he messaged me. We talked online for a couple of weeks. We then started talking on the phone. We met in person on July 14, 2007. We had a long-distance relationship for 3 years. Last year, I finally found a job where he lives, blah, 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 blah. We got engaged. I was right. A farmer was what I was looking for. Wow. Oh, this one is planning their wedding in the woods. That's Nick.
There's one called SeaCaptainDate.com.
No, really?
I think it might be fake, though. If you go to it, it might be, I'm thinking it might be fake. And I looked it up, and they can't confirm or deny that it's really fake.
Is that the address, seacaptaindate.com?
Yeah. If you watch the video that's right up front, Sea Captain Date, Caleb's story, you don't know if it's real or fake. I'm leaning towards fake.
Find your first mate. Sea Captain Date is the only place for sea captains to connect with men and women who share their love of the ocean. With thousands of captains already online, SeaCaptainDate.com is the destination for romance on the seven seas. This is fantastic. Connect with over 10,000 captains online now. And then there's pictures of some Asian girl at the bottom.
Oh, I don't have the Asian girls.
Oh, I have an Asian girl. She's running a slow boat in the South China Sea.
Watch the video, though.
Let me see here. I don't think it's going to work for me. Bloody cunt.
All right, so the video starts off. It's a sea captain. And he's like, well, when you're out on a boat all day with men, you know, things can be difficult. And I often dream about what happens. you can only get your dick sucked by so many guys, without it starting to get weird. So I often think about women. That last part's not actually in the video, but he's like, I often think about, meeting somebody, and I can navigate the oceans, but the internet confuses me. And then, somebody told me to go on seacaptaindate.com. And he goes, my name is Caleb Jake, what is it? Jacobson. He goes, but even my mother calls me the captain. And his username is CuddlyBear13.
Oh, yeah. That's great. That could be like a gay thing, though.
See, because the other thing is, his next line is like, the sea might be my mistress, but that's just an expression. There isn't actually sex like involved.
He has to explain that.
Yeah, because there's no actual sex involved, so.
I only get so much action when I'm out on the boat with a bunch of dudes.
Yeah, when you try to, I've tried, but when you try to stick your dick in the ocean, it's really like throwing a hot dog down, a giant hallway.
It shrivels up back inside.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, you get the salt water in there, it's no good, so.
Oh, you gotta clean it right away.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the about. Dating can be a stormy sea. That's why we're here for you. Since 2007, we've been helping lonely sea captains like you find their match. With over 3 years of experience, it's no surprise that Sea Captain Date is the premier dating service for sea captains. In an unforgiving ocean of love, let us be your lighthouse. Bill Kay, CEO of SeaCaptainDate.com. That is awesome. I'm going to search Bill Kay.
He ends up being... And you have to watch the video. But he ends up meeting, and I'll put it up on our pages. But he meets like this incredibly like young, fairly attractive blonde. And he's like, oh, we get along great. And they show them like with their pants rolled up, like running in the waves.
Of course. Where else would they go? I'm sure everyone on this is extremely attractive. And none of them have venereal diseases.
Yeah. Sometimes the captain needs a little more than a wheel in his hands. It's got to be fake.
I'm reading some like posts about it. Well, most people seem to think it's fake. One of these guys...
He
says he's going to try it because he's worn out his welcome in Nevada. I have a feeling you're not going to find too many sea captains in the area.
Yeah.
What do you mean, well?
Well, no, I was going to say, maybe you can find a person that loves the ocean, but you're probably not going to find them in Nevada either.
No, probably not.
I feel like it's a very niche market, too. I feel like there's not that many sea captains.
Yeah. I think the farmers one was even more broad than this one.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I feel like there's got to be more farmers and rural people than sea captains.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of like farmers, and I mean they're extending out to more rural kind of people. So I feel like that'd be a dating website for like my area. So maybe
from your area.
Yeah, where I am. I mean, not that I'm going to try it out, but although I am somewhat tempted to go on Sea Captains and see if somebody create a fake profile and see if I get any hits. But if I get caught, is my excuse going to be it's for the show? It's for the show.
Yeah, R.I.P. Townsend.
I don't love the sea. I hate it.
See, now that site would work much better for someone like me, and I'd probably find someone out of Gloucester or something.
Yeah.
Find some rough old sea captain that needs some tenderness.
Some sea captain woman that's missing her hand in a boating accident, and
they got a fucking eye patch. That'd be great. I mean, you know, you'd always know where she was. Go out, she'd be going for the swordfish or whatever out in the North Atlantic. I probably wouldn't see her for months at a time. And then when she comes back, it just gets real rough sea loving.
Yeah. But what
probably smells like salt water.
She smells like fish. Well, you know, she might smell like fish anyway, so.
That's true, because she can't be clean. There's just no way.
Maybe, yeah, but what if she likes to keep the lights on during sex?
Oh my god! You know what I bet she would look like?
She's just rubbing your face with the stump of her.
She's just sticking it in my mouth. You know what she would look like? She'd look like that guy or whatever the hell it is in Raiders of the Lost Ark that's having the drinking contest with Marion in Nepal.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell that thing is. It looks like a. I think it's supposed to be a guy, but it kind of looks like an old woman. But
yeah,
the sea captain woman would look like that. And she'd be drinking brandy. She'd smell disgusting. Why? She'd come in my bed. I would just have to. I'd have to fumigate my fucking rum.
Why would she drink brandy? That's a very classy drink for a sea captain.
No, she tries to class it up.
Okay. So she's drinking brandy. And yeah. she comes in. So let's say I don't think it would get as far as it would naturally. I think she would just force her way into the relationship. And like take a key to your apartment.
Oh yeah,
she would come over like first night. She would take your key off of your key ring and be like, "This is mine now." And you would be too scared to say anything.
What am I gonna say? She carries probably like a fucking flintlock pistol around.
Well, then you only have to dodge one bullet.
That's true. I don't know why. That's like the most impractical thing she could do. But
it'd be more dangerous if, like, she had a hook for her stump or something.
I know.
Fucking flintlock pistol.
I know. All I'd have to do is wear, like, a heavy sweatshirt.
God, she just comes into your room and she would basically probably sexually assault you. I mean, you'd be okay with it because you'd be getting away.
Why would I be okay with it?
Because you'd be
just
like,
described her as looking like the guy that has the drinking contest with Marion. Why would I be okay with it?
You'd be like, at least it's sex. And I mean, she wouldn't want to cuddle afterwards or anything.
No, she'd leave. She'd get it. She'd be like, all right, I'm done. She'd hop in her fucking disgusting Cadillac Eldorado from 1978.
Or she would just, she would make you leave your own room.
She'd be like, you're sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. What, you gonna leave us? Are you leaving now or what? What, you want to cuddle or something, you pussy?
Yeah. What are you, some sort of an HMO? Get the fuck out of here.
please don't go on ccaptaindate.com. I'd be afraid for you.
I think it'd be fantastic. It would just be like the roughest woman in the world. She'd like rob a liquor store on her way to my house.
She wouldn't even take any cash. She would just take the brandy.
Yeah, that's what she's doing. She's taking brandy.
It wouldn't even really be robbing it, because she would just take it, and as she walked out, she would go, I'm taking this, and then leave.
Just notify them that she was stealing.
Yeah, and the guys would be like, okay. Well.
God. I don't know. Like, I don't think I could be intimate with them, with her. You can just imagine the amount of blowjob she's given. Her lips would just be chapped. What? From both the sea and the blowjobs. Yeah.
She comes into your room and she's got like the Gordon's fisherman suit on.
Yeah, she just throws it. She throws it in the corner. It's just water everywhere. Yeah. There's like seaweed coming off of her. Fucking disgusting. Ugh.
She's like, "Honey, I brought you a present," and then just drops a giant fish on your on your bed.
Ugh. This is more where that comes from. She spreads her legs. Filthy. I can't do it.
She'd make terrible jokes too. Like one day she would come home and be like, "Honey, I have crabs," and lift up a giant bag of them, and you'd be like, "Oh," and she'd be like, "That's funny. Laugh, fucking laugh."
That's a joke.
And you're like, okay, sweetie.
Don't take out the flintlock pistol. Oh, my God. She's always watching fucking The Perfect Storm. She loves George Clooney.
She catches you one day watching that Wicked Tuna show.
Oh.
And she's like, "What are you doing? These guys are faggots."
Bunch of homos here. I do this for real.
Then you find out she was turned down for the show for being too violent.
She's at some point, I figure I would also find out that she was a lesbian. Her nickname out in the sea is the Labia Commander.
I can just imagine eventually this would end with just a Dateline special of what happened to Greg T. Nicola.
Yeah, there'll be like someone down at the fish market was tossing the fish from the day's catch into a truck, and they came across a torso of a portly, hairy gentleman from Quincy, Massachusetts.
He had a tattoo of the Imperial insignia from Star Wars.
He was clearly a nerd. It probably would. I don't know. She'd slice me up like a fish.
The sad thing is you get less press coverage than Natalie Wood, so no one would really care.
Now, which one was Natalie Wood?
She was the one that was on the boat with...
was she down in, like, the Bahamas or something?
She was on the boat Christopher Walken, I think, was on the boat, too. And was it Warren Beatty?
No. It was, fucking number two from Austin Powers there.
Yeah.
God, why can't I think of his name?
Fuck.
Oh, I feel like such an idiot. Hold on.
I literally just watched something about that, and that's why I made the joke about it. Robert Wagner.
Robert Wagner. My God, I was talking about this the other day, about how he killed her, and no one really gave a shit. Yeah, no one would care. Yeah, you're right. Natalie Wood. Natalie Holloway. That was the girl from the Bahamas that got, I don't know, raped and then
killed
dumped.
By the other guy, yeah. Yeah. So I think the moral of this is be careful who you date on anything, really.
Yeah, you don't know.
I mean, especially if you believe Manti Te'o's story, which I don't know if I do.
I've read up on it. Do you want to discuss?
We can discuss, yeah. Let's get into some catfishing.
So I want to believe that he had no idea. But going through, I've read a bunch of stuff about it now, and looking at the facts, I have a hard time believing that he had no idea.
There are a lot of red flags.
There are. And I think what bothers me the most was that there are statements by his family previous to any revelations that that she doesn't exist, that people saying that they had met her. And that really bothers me about the whole thing.
Yeah, other people are saying that they met her. He lied a lot about when they actually supposedly met and stuff.
Well, because supposedly they first met in California, at Stanford.
Well, that's what he says. And we know that that story is a lie. See, the thing is that we know a lot of what he has said is a lie. We know that he's been lying already. So it's hard to believe that, and like anything that he says is true. It is a modern day The Boy Who Cried Wolf.
Yeah, kinda.
Because he lied about when they met, how they met. Like visiting, like she would go to California when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's saying he made all that stuff up. There's two things that really get me, and I obviously don't consider myself an expert, but I've seen Catfish the movie, and I've seen a few episodes of the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed in watching both those things is the people that tend to do this kind of thing are either doing it for revenge, and or because they don't have some kind of control in their life, or they have like low self-esteem or something like that.
Right.
Like it'll be a fat girl that steals like a model's picture, or finds some attractive girl, takes her pictures, creates this other profile, and tries to get a guy or several guys to like her for her. Mm-hmm. And that makes her feel better. Or there was one that I saw that was nuts, that this girl, over this one guy, he was apparently sleeping with both these girls at the same time. This one thought that, like, they were exclusive. And because this other girl was getting involved, she ended up creating this account, getting this girl to fall in love with her, and carried it on for 2 years. And then when she finally figured it out, she was like, because you messed with my man. But then when the guy actually, like, interviewed her, she was like, well, I had a really hard life, and, like, I think her father died, and somebody else close to her died, and her sister's life is all fucked up, and, like, she was abused as a kid, and all this other stuff happened, and, like, she wanted some kind of control, so her, like, getting vengeance and, like, trying to make things even was like her way of dealing with it.
Right.
But I can't figure out what the motive would be in this, considering that the guy who created the account knows Teo.
Yeah.
Teo?
Yeah, he's the... I say Teo.
Monty Teo? I think it's Teo. We'll say Teo.
And, yeah, he's... Yeah, I know he's a musician, and he is in both... He's in, like, a Christian band, or his father's a pastor or something.
Yeah, and he's in a Christian band.
Yeah, but they also play, like, non-Christian songs, too, or maybe he's in another band that does that. But he's friends with him. And I think... Is it also true that the same guy contacted the... guy who created the Catfish movie?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, I might have.
Somebody did contact the Catfish guy. I've only read a few articles on it. Because there's so much shit going back and forth with things. I read the original Deadspin article. Which I'll also, when I put up the episode, I'll put a link up or something like that to it. And then the interview that he did this past weekend with ESPN. And now I was just looking at, before we got on to record, Deadspin also got access to, like, the full archives of their Twitters.
Oh, okay.
Both the Twitters are deactivated now. But
Teo's too?
I don't think Teo's is.
Okay.
But... the one for the fake girlfriend, Lene, and then, how do you say the other guy's name? Rene?
Oh,
Ranahe?
Yeah. The musician there.
Yeah. I know I'm butchering it,
Renaya?
Maybe that's it. Renaya?
Yeah.
That sounds like it might be right. Those are like have the best details, and then everybody else is kind of covering stuff, but going based mostly on this, which is how a lot of this blew out of proportion to begin with. Like, news just copied other news, and nobody checked anything independently.
Right. And, no, I know. People, people making just, I don't know.
Yeah, like
assumptions.
Nobody checked for the fact that this girl went to Stanford. Nobody checked to see about the car accident. Nobody checked for an obituary. Nobody checked for like a death certificate, any of that. Nobody verified anything. Because you check one of those things and then you're like, wait a minute. That's not right. Okay, a few weeks later, the Twitter account that was created for Lene's sister, because somebody created an account for her sister.
Yes,
it was deleted.
I heard about that.
The deletion came immediately after tweets from two now suspended Twitter accounts that alleged that she was a fraud, that the same person behind Lene was operating the sister's account, and the images of her were really of a woman named Donna Tay. And yet another now deleted tweet, Donna Tay herself reached out to Neve, star of the 2010 film Catfish. What is his name? Shulman? Neve Shulman?
Oh, yeah.
The catfish guy. So, yeah, somebody reached out to him. I don't know what... This was just, I think, in end of November, beginning of December that he was reached out to.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like someone did this when they were originally setting it up.
No. But the thing is, so supposedly, though, and this is one that I haven't heard from one of those two sources, somebody, what did we say his name was? Renaya?
Yeah.
Who created the account, created it back in, like, 2008. And, everyone's saying that he's the one that created the account. So, I mean, I supposedly he even admitted it to Teo and said, you know, I'm sorry, I'm the one behind it. Supposedly he created it back in, like, 2008. And he got the pictures from a girl that he went to high school with from her Facebook account.
Right.
And And Deadspin was able to link it because they were like, hey, can you – because they found through searching the pictures, even though they were slightly altered, they were able to figure out where the pictures originally came from.
Mm-hmm.
And he – they were able to find her, and they contacted her, and she had no idea, and she was looking at all the pictures, and there was one, as far as she knew, had never gone on the internet. And then they were like, holy shit, I gave it to this guy because he called me and or messaged me and said, hey, my brother is – or my cousin was in a car accident and, you know, he's trying to recover and I'm trying to brighten his spirits. And he saw a picture of you online and thought you were really cute. Can you send in a picture of you holding a sign that says MSMK?
Yes.
I'm really curious. Yeah, she did it. Didn't even question what it meant. I'm really curious what it means. But she just did it to be nice. And then that was, I guess, what ended up, like, linking him specifically to that.
Right.
And supposedly he talked to a, like, pageant queen in, I think, California, and pretending to be Lene, and said, I'm really curious how to get into this, et cetera, et cetera. Can we meet up for tips? Eventually is what he said. And then he actually went and met her. And then, see, at some point, she says Teo contacted her expressing doubt. But I missed whether or not she actually was like, I think she might have just not said anything. But he was having doubts pretty early on. Plus, in the ESPN article, he admits that, like, every time they tried to make plans to meet up, she would cancel or send somebody else. Every time that they tried to Skype or FaceTime, she was in just a black box, so, like, she wasn't transmitting video or anything. The biggest thing to me, though, was they asked him in the ESPN interview when she was in the hospital. And for anybody who doesn't know the story or is only getting bits and pieces of it, she was in a car accident, supposedly, towards the beginning of this year. Or not this year, 2012, right?
Yep.
And then because of the car accident, they discovered that she had leukemia. I want to say it was like within 6 months after finding out that she had leukemia, she died.
Yeah, she was supposedly getting bone marrow transplants and all that.
Well, yeah, and she was – well, the weird thing is she was doing better and they let her out of the hospital is the story that they're saying, is that they let her out of the hospital and then all of a sudden – He talked to her, like, I think it was, again, like 6 hours before he got the news that she died.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she was dead. But she wasn't.
Because she never existed.
Yeah. But the thing now, is, they were like, why didn't you go visit her in the hospital? And he goes, it never crossed my mind.
Why did he never go visit her in the hospital?
Yeah. He said it never really crossed my mind.
Yeah, that's troubling.
His answer to why he didn't go to the funeral was because her parents supposedly told him, or her brother told him, because I think the other voice that he had heard was like supposed to be a brother. The brother was like, oh, well, she never wanted you to miss a game because of this, because of her illness, so she wouldn't want you to be there. And he goes, the first time I saw her in person, I didn't want it to be to see her there laying in the coffin.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I can kind of see that. But why won't you go visit her in the hospital?
Yeah, that to me is a bit strange. I don't know. It's just too much on his end that just doesn't add up.
There's a lot of stuff that's just weird. I mean, because I was thinking about it, like, if I was distanced from somebody that I actually cared about, and, like, he said that he was, like, really into her, and I think he might have even said, like, you know, love of my life or used a term like that at some point in some interview.
Yeah.
If that was supposedly true and he was as invested in her as he said, and they actually stayed on the phone at night going to sleep because it comforted them or her or whoever, why wouldn't he go to the hospital and visit her? It's not like it was happening during the school year, during the season. It was, like, over the summer. Plus, if he was at any point going back to Hawaii to go home, he would have to go through California anyway.
Right.
Because I would – like, if you were in the hospital, even though we're not romantically involved, were close enough that I would make an effort to come out and visit you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. And I mean,
like,
that
how does that not cross your mind?
No. Well, that to me is really fishy. I'm also really curious about who he was talking to on the phone.
The girl, supposedly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, supposedly there's a girl involved.
Yeah. Or I mean, maybe it never even happened. Because if his story is to be believed, then a woman was in on this and talking to him on the phone. But maybe that might not even be true.
Yeah, there's too many red flags about it where I'm just like, I don't know. And there's one of the Cardinal players that says that he supposedly met her. And he's clearly lying, but he was like, no, I met her.
Yeah.
But like, clearly he's lying, so. I have a theory, and I don't. It's mostly based on my gut.
Okay, because I have one too.
This is the other Columbo cousin.
All right.
This isn't Frank or Chuck. No, this isn't Chuck. This is
Bruce.
Bruce Columbo is the Columbo catfish guy. I think that Renea, who created the account. And as he became friends with Teo, they were talking, and he told him about what he was doing. And together, in kind of a modern-day Hitchcockian way, they launched this plan to have this fake girl come into his life, be somebody important, build up his notoriety, and then decided to kill her off to boost him up a little bit.
Yeah.
I think it was something that they plotted together. So I don't think he was in on the creation of Linnae from the beginning, but I think he knew from the beginning of their supposed relationship. Because the other thing is, and yes, I know he's a Mormon, and I know he was at a Catholic school, but why did he not have interest in women that were close to him?
Especially, like, it's one thing if, like, this was someone that he had... you had known or you had been speaking with since before you were in college or something. But to be going into your senior year in college and to just out of nowhere find someone who lives 1,500 miles away online.
He said in the ESPN one that they started talking on Facebook his freshman year.
Oh, okay.
The end of his freshman year, and they would talk off and on for the next couple years, and then their relationship became serious his senior year. But still, like, why would you never meet this person?
It's insane. There's no sense at all, especially when you have the ability to. Like he originally said, well, he was like, oh, yeah, well, I was going to meet her because we were playing USC, and she went to Stanford, so we're in Southern California.
Yeah.
So we had the opportunity to see each other. But
or again, like going to Hawaii, like I'm sure there's no direct flight to Hawaii from South Bend. So no, I'm sure he has to. Yeah, I'm sure he has to go to California. So I feel like he would meet up, or if after so long, like he won't just suspect something.
Yeah,
especially after. Because they would have gotten together before the movie Catfish came out. Especially after the movie Catfish came out, I feel like he wouldn't... Because that was pretty big. Like, I feel like he would have heard about it.
Yeah.
I mean, like, most people, I think, around our age have heard about it and know it. The people that don't are, like, our parents.
Right, right.
I feel like that would have raised, like, a red flag and been like, hey, wait a minute, every time I try to meet this Facebook friend I have, something comes up. That's kind of weird. And, like, I can understand people – well, I mean, I kind of can. Like, if you have very low self-esteem and you are feeling somewhat isolated and you don't feel like you don't connect with a lot of people and then you connect with somebody online, I can see you kind of being like, okay, well, this person really gets me and we have a strong connection, so you kind of get blinders on.
Yeah.
But this guy was a huge guy on the Notre Dame football team. Like, not only does he have teammates, I would imagine he would have a ton of people who would want to be his friends and talk to him and stuff.
Yeah, I completely agree. That doesn't always mean that you are a confident person, or that you're obviously it doesn't always mean that you're happy, but it is strange. You would think that he wouldn't have to go to such great lengths to find someone that would want to spend time with him. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's weird that he would be so focused and have blinders on for like 4 years to the fact that this person might not be who they say they are.
I just can't imagine. I can't imagine being the person pulling off the hoax.
That's got to be so much work.
If he was not involved, I mean, the fact that I don't know, man. 4 years, someone's playing a trick on him for 4 years. I feel like it would have to. He would have to have input on it. I don't think it could go on that long.
Well, especially because it's somebody that he knows. Like, it's somebody that they know. See, because the thing that I kind of want to get clarification on, and I haven't seen yet, is when did he start knowing the kid that created the account, and when did he actually start talking to Lene?
Mm.
Like, who came first in that scenario?
Yeah.
Like, did Lene end up being the reason that he met the kid? And maybe the kid was – maybe the whole purpose of the kid was trying to, like, get connected to somebody who was somebody.
Yeah. Well, the kid who – the musician there, he had a long history of football in his family too.
That's right.
It was like his father and his grandfather and his uncles and – all this shit, and he was actually a candidate to play in the NFL too, but I guess they're not really sure why. No one seems to be sure why, but he just never ended up playing professional ball or, you know. But he was, I guess, pretty well known in college for his football abilities.
Yeah, he was on his way to be somebody too. I thought I saw somewhere that part of the reason that he stopped was supposedly because of his supposed dedication to religion then.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense because I don't know why he would.
That doesn't mean you have to stop playing football.
Well, yeah, that doesn't mean you have to stop playing football, and that doesn't mean that it's cool to do this then.
Well, yeah, that's true too. If you're going to be a religious person, you probably shouldn't be messing around with people and then killing off their fake girlfriends.
Yeah. The thing is, like, I don't understand what the motivation. Because if he met, let's say Teo met this kid first.
Yeah.
It would be like if after I met Andrew for the first time, like, I started this account and started flirting with him on Facebook to drag him along while actually knowing him.
Yeah.
And developing some kind of a friendship with him. Because supposedly the kid that created the account was his guest on the field at one of the football games. One of the big football games.
Because he tweeted about it. He said, oh, great hanging in South Bend with, you know, with Montetio.
Yeah. So, like, it would be on that level. And I can't imagine doing that.
You want to know my theory?
What's your theory?
He's gay.
That's the other popular theory.
Montetio is gay. And in order to fake everyone out, but so he wouldn't have to carry on an actual fake relationship with a woman, he created a false girlfriend with the help of his friend, who is the musician guy, and when he started to get big, which is right around the same time that she died, they killed her off because they figured that you know, at this point, people are going to start looking into his life a lot more because, you know, he's becoming like a Heisman candidate and all this shit. And they figured it'd be easier. They just kill her off. And, you know, he probably didn't think it was going to become as big of a deal as it did.
Well, no, he must have thought, considering that he did it, he announced it, like, within a few hours of his grandmother dying.
Mm.
Like, he had to have known that that would have gotten him press coverage.
Yeah, you're right. He did announce it, didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't try to do it quietly.
Yeah.
Which is a little troubling.
Well, actually, I should say, I don't think he announced it. I know he told, like, his team. But he should have known, he would have known that the story would have gotten out.
Well, basically, whether or not he announced it or not, if that was the goal, I would have probably I would have done it as under the radar as possible, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's the only theory. Because honestly, I look at all the facts. I look at what he knew and what he didn't know or what he should have known. And to me, I think he knew. And I think he was in on it. And the only reasonable explanation for me is that he was gay. Or that he is gay. And that he was trying to cover it up because he was too afraid to come out of the closet. You know, being a football player and all that.
Mm-hmm.
If that's not the case, then he's just a dick.
Well,
he's kind of a dick either way, but
my theory is basically he wanted to find a way to draw attention to himself and build publicity and stuff.
Well, yeah, because that's also a definite possibility.
The other thing is, I'm not a doctor. I mean, I've watched a lot of House and Scrubs, but I feel like the timeline of her illness is wrong. Like sometime in early-ish 2002. Actually, no. I think it's more middle. I think it's like May or June as she's recovering from the car accident. They realize that she has leukemia. And then she has to get a bone marrow transplant.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they would have, in most cases, they probably would have figured out, because it was as she was recovering. Like, the car accident was supposedly it was before April.
Yeah, I want to say it was like February or March or something.
Yeah, so I feel like they would have figured it out sooner. And I feel like they wouldn't immediately go – I feel like they don't immediately go to a bone marrow transplant. Because the way the story is told is they literally find out that she has leukemia and she immediately gets a bone marrow transplant.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's not what they do. I feel like they try other things first. Because if she went so long without having like any symptoms or anything, then, you know, maybe she – she's not showing any symptoms, then, I mean, I would think that it was maybe still in the early stages.
Right, and that maybe you could cure it by, or not cure it, but fight it by means other than surgery.
Yeah, because I feel like the bone marrow transplant, because people live a long time, can live a fairly long time before they find a bone marrow match.
Right.
And the other thing is they just immediately find a match, which is pretty lucky too. I feel like from what I hear, bone marrow transplant matches are hard to find. It usually takes them a little bit of time. Sometimes family is a match, sometimes it's not. So it's kind of hard. So but then like summer she improves. She supposedly graduates. And then September she dies? Yeah, September she dies. Yeah. I feel like, I don't know, there's things about the medical thing that from the little bit that I know, I have concerns about. I don't know.
One thing people are saying is that doesn't make sense, her like recovering or whatever, and then And then it was like out of nowhere, she died.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, that is weird and definitely abnormal. I did actually have a friend though, and he did exist, and he had cancer, and he was actually doing much, much better. He was actually on the road to recovery, and then it was weird. It just came back with a vengeance, and he was dead within like 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like really, it was weird, but because everyone thought he was much better, and just boom.
Even I feel like it's weird that she, because they supposedly talked every day, and she never was like, oh, like it's coming back, like I don't know what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you would think she would, I don't know. You know, it's tough because we sit here and we're talking about, you know, inconsistencies in a story like that we know is fake. So it's like it only strengthens my opinion that he had to have been in on it, because how could he not see these crazy inconsistencies?
Yeah.
You know, like I just don't see any way around it.
Well, the thing is, though, like a lot of it also is based on what he tells other people, and nobody was like, oh, that's weird. And then he was like, hey, wait a minute, that's kind of weird. Or maybe nobody told him that it was weird. Like, some of this stuff didn't make sense, and everybody just went along with it.
That's so strange to me that's why I feel like there has to be some sort of other motive that is bigger than, or at least bigger in the eyes of him and his family or whatever, than lying. Because why would everyone go along with it? Why would people be saying that they met her? Why, like, I mean, his parents said that they, oh God, I'm trying to remember what they were talking about. But they mentioned the idea that it was on their minds that she was going to be their daughter-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? What would ever give them that impression?
I think at one point they were saying that the parents actually talked to her on the phone. Like, the other thing is, and let's say he had no idea. Well, we've already said our piece on that. But let's look at it from the other side. Let's say he didn't know. Teo didn't know he was the victim. This kid, though, what did we say his name was?
Rihanna.
Renaya. That's him and his female accomplice, because he had to have at least one. But supposedly there was another guy involved because that was the voice of the brother.
Right.
So three people. This is a lot of fucking work. Like, this is a lot of fucking work to pull off a hoax that seems to have no point to it.
Like, I mean, especially, you can see, like, at the end here, you know, there was, like, a resolution or, like, a, I mean, for good or for bad, there was an end to it. But think about it, like, a year ago or something. Like, if he went on talking to her for 4 years, you're 3 years into this hoax, and nothing has happened. Like, what are you, like, what, I mean, what's going through your mind if you're perpetrating this hoax? You know, I've pulled jokes on my friends before and people, but, like, I've even pulled some long, you know, running jokes.
Yeah.
But, like, that's insane.
Yeah, I mean, you can keep a thing going for a while. And to a point almost, it doesn't even, you don't even actually really need to put that much input into it.
Yeah.
But this at one point became literally like a daily commitment. And like,
right. And for multiple people.
Yeah. And you have to create like multiple, in a lot of these cases, like you have to create like multiple Twitter accounts and multiple Facebook accounts. It's ridiculous how much work you have to put into it. I mean, if you, if we took all the energy that was channeled into catfishing and put it towards something useful, a lot of problems would be solved. A lot of things would probably get taken care of. I can't imagine putting that much work into something.
No,
just absolutely not. It blows my mind. But like in the movie Catfish, the point was basically for her to have some kind of an outlet and some kind of escape from her life. Did you see that movie?
I didn't see it.
Do you know what happens at the end when they find out that she's not who she says she is?
No.
Are you cool with if I spoil it?
Go ahead.
Because it makes sense once you see her, and I think for the most part the movie's true. I think they might embellish on things and like they went back and refilmed stuff. But they end up finding out that the woman that's supposedly behind this whole thing is just a normal, just like housewife in, you know, rural Kentucky or something. I don't remember the state. I'm just saying Kentucky. But she's just small town housewife. Her husband's kind of a real redneck. She's real simple, but she has twin sons. I think they're twin sons. I don't remember exactly what their disease is, but they're both in wheelchairs. Or no, I'm sorry. One is in a wheelchair. I think the other one isn't, and the other one's pretty violent. Like, they both have severe developmental issues. And it's very taxing on her to raise them. So she has created all these, like, Facebook accounts as an outlet to go outside, basically, because she can't. Trying to raise these kids and to have outside contact because she has to raise these kids. And the name Catfish comes from the redneck husband. And this part, again, is where I kind of think, like, maybe it's not entirely true because he's a real redneck. And I remember him, and I could be wrong, but I remember him basically just being in overalls and a trucker hat. Like, he didn't have a shirt on or underneath. He was just in overalls and a trucker hat.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, like my daddy used to say, you know, sometimes you always got to have a catfish in the water, keep the other fish in check, keep them on their toes, because that catfish will go after them and surprise them. And he says something like really kind of eloquent like that, and you're kind of like, huh, that was kind of weird and kind of perfect for the movie. But then again, maybe it was like perfect for the movie. And then they were like, he had like, you know, 30 seconds of clarity. And they were like, that's perfect. We'll take the name Catfish for the movie.
Yeah.
But like that kind of makes sense. And then, like I said, like you find people who are like using it as like revenge or an outlet or to help their self-esteem. Like catfishing is never really for like financial gain or anything. Like they're never like extorting the person for money. It's like they actually create a real relationship, but they're not who they say they are for some other reason.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I think the majority of the time these people are getting their own kind of – they're either getting something emotionally out of it or they're probably just getting – like if they're being mean about it, they're getting some sort of sick self-satisfaction out of it.
Yeah.
Which – by the point that we're at, like, by the point they were at with the Monty Tio thing, where he was, I mean, 3 years in or something, I can't even imagine someone still going through with it. I don't know, I guess I can't put myself in that position.
Yeah, I guess my thing is, like, they did all this, and then they just decided to kill her off, and the timing of her killing her off is weird. And, like, were they just, like, that was the point where they were like, we are in way over our heads. Let's just kill her off now while the grandma's dead, and then we'll take care of, like, and then we'll be okay. Like, why not just kill her off in the car accident? Why have her go in the car accident at all?
Yeah, and then go through, I don't know.
Like, let's say he's a victim of the hoax. The people putting on the hoax just... I don't understand it, and I would really like to see an interview with them. I would really like to understand their side of the story as to why they did all this and like how they pieced it together.
I just hardly see any in it at all. That's what I find so strange. It's just the lack of any logic.
You mean that there's like no, that there's no end game to it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than for him to have been in on it. That's the only time when I see any end game. And I don't even think the motives are that good.
Yeah, but. I mean, the only end game that I can see is to kill her off and try to get more publicity for that season and Heisman. But even then, I feel like they should have carried it out farther. Because they had an undefeated season this season. If they had carried it out and they were like, we're having an undefeated season, we need to... Or maybe they were figuring that with an... just starting off the season this way, it would be a good way to start. You know, I mean, not a good way, but you know what I mean. For publicity's right. sake. But yeah, I agree. That's the thing that bothers me. There's no purpose to it. There's no clear understanding of why they were doing it.
Right.
Especially when he was supposedly like good friends with the guy at this time and it became like such a commitment. And like, what was in it for the girl that was pretending to be her?
Yeah, I mean, what kind of like, is she just doing the other guy a favor?
Hey, listen, sweetheart, I need you to do something for me. I want you to get on the phone and talk to this guy. Real nice guy. He thinks you're this chick named Lene, and I just want you guys to, you know, pretend like you're boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. For,
you know, however long it takes. But supposedly they talked on the phone in, like, 2008 and shit, so I don't understand. Like, this was... The thing is, this is, like, a conspiracy theory that Jesse Ventura would love. That is actually true, but nobody's actually investigating it.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The weird thing is, ever since Catfish came out, and more so now than before, there are people that I talk to only on Twitter. I don't talk to random strangers on Facebook. I never have. Have you ever done that?
No.
Not
on Facebook.
I've never accepted a random Facebook request. But there are people that I'll talk to on Twitter. And every once in a while I go, maybe this person doesn't exist. I mean, they tweet a lot. They have a lot of followers. They follow a lot of people. Like, they seem fairly legit. Like, they have an open account and shit. Mm. But I'm always like, maybe this person isn't real. Oh, well. Like, I'm not building a relationship with them.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just cracking jokes about something or, you know, recommending a record for them to listen to or some shit like that. So... For what I want to get out of Twitter, I'm getting from this possibly fake person, but whether that's their name or not, I'm clearly talking to somebody. So
as long as I'm talking to another human being,
as long as I'm talking to somebody, and you know, whatever, I don't care. I don't know. Could you get into a relationship with somebody that randomly like messaged you on Facebook?
No, I could probably start talking to someone, but if I didn't have the ability to meet them within a few, weeks or a month or something, I'd be like, I don't know what the hell this is all about.
You might be able to form a friendship, but I don't think you would be able to form, like, I know I wouldn't be able to form, like, an actual, like, love for somebody if I didn't see them.
Yeah. No, I couldn't. You know, like I could talk to them, maybe, every once in a while. But at some point, if they were ever like, hey, you know, I think you're great. I think I'm in love with you. Blah, blah, blah. I'd be like, yeah, well, you know, cool. Cool. Do you want to meet sometime? You know, do you want to, like, go get dinner or something? You know? And if no, or if, hey, I live in California, so I'm going to be like, yeah, well, you know, we can be friends, but I don't think we're in love here.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I need a little something more, you know? I need a little something else.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he is pretty, you know, religious and religious enough where he isn't interested in the physical quite yet, but I still feel like he would want to meet that person. You know?
I agree, sir. It sounds a little nuts to me.
One thing that we know for sure is that, what was his name, Neve Schulman of Catfish fame is almost certainly going to get another season from MTV of a show. And is very happy with what's happening.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you saw it. Saturday was opening night for the NHL at the Dallas Stars game. They're on the Jumbotron. They're showing there's like a couple celebrities at the game, and they were showing them and then putting their name, you know, at the bottom of the screen. And then it shows an empty chair, and it says Monty Tio's girlfriend.
Well, that was the big thing for the, like, that day. Tioing was trending on Twitter and shit.
Yeah,
there's a, was it tioing.tumblr.com?
Yeah, everyone's just pretending to have a girlfriend, their arm around someone and whatnot.
My two favorite ones though were the swimsuit 2012 swimsuit issue, and it had Alabama's girlfriend Catherine Webb.
Yeah,
in a bikini, which they didn't have to Photoshop at all, because the guy's dating like a Miss America contestant.
Yeah, I know she was Miss Alabama.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Seems like a nice guy.
He's got to be so pissed off. He's got to be so mad that he fucking won a huge game, and then his girlfriend is the one getting like, you know, 200,000 Twitter followers within a day.
Yeah, she's reporting now. She's going to be at the Super Bowl.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
ESPN's like giving her sideline reporting duty, because you know those sideline reporters always bring the most hard hitting information and comments.
Do you follow her?
No, I don't.
I do for one reason. I do, and I do because the pitches? No, surprisingly, no, because I listened to what's his name? Oh, he's been doing it forever. The guy that made her popular, really, and was commenting, and he was like, "Oh, look at her," and there's his mom,
Brent Musburger.
Yes, thank you. And he was commenting on it, and he was like, "Look at that, just beautiful women, just gorgeous women." And you know, if you're thinking about going to Alabama, start throwing the football around, and you know what, he made some comment or something like that about how you should start playing football.
And he's done this before,
because maybe you'll get like a beautiful woman like that. And like 2 days, I don't think it was the next day, but like 2 days later, she was on some show in the morning, and she was like, because they made him apologize, like ESPN apologized for him and like made him apologize. And her response was like, well, I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't think it's really necessary, because he wasn't saying anything like derogatory or mean or vulgar. He was just commenting us and saying that we're beautiful and gorgeous, and I don't see anything wrong with that. And I was like, thank you for being normal and not demanding an apology.
Yeah.
Because the guy beautiful.
Why should you need an apology? Ugh.
Plus, it's her job, really. I mean, she's a model and she's Miss Alabama. Like, it's not...
I wouldn't say she exists to look good, but she parades herself around because she looks good.
Yeah, that's her job. And I guarantee that when she was getting ready for that game, she was getting ready thinking, I need to look my best because I will probably be on TV.
Yeah, because my boyfriend is the quarterback, so they're probably going to flash me on the TV, and I got to look good.
Yeah.
So let me find a sexy outfit, because I'm going to be on national television.
Well, I don't know if it was really a sexy outfit. I think she was just wearing jersey, but...
Well, okay, but let me... All right, not a sexy outfit, but let me look good.
Look good, yeah. Yeah, and she was just like, you know, because people were like supposedly outraged because he was like oogling her and everything. I was like, he wasn't.
Yeah.
He was like, I like to take her to the end zone. I like to spike that football. Like, Nothing. Nothing. No terrible sexual innuendos. He was like, wow, beautiful women. Look at that. Just gorgeous. Oh, wow. You know, if you're going to play for... Nothing. But anyway. So my two favorite ones on the TOing thing were her and then just an invisible floating bikini and it said Linnea on the bottom. And then the other one was a picture of a set of footprints in the sand. And the first paragraph was copied from the footprints poem.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the second part was, you know, when God responded, well, there's times when you see only the single set of footprints. That's when you were walking with your girlfriend, Linnea. And I was like, that's pretty good. The rest were kind of stupid. There was a lot of pretending to be holding a head, giving a blowjob. A lot of just the weird arms around it.
It's crazy.
But that's all the facts that we know as of today, which is Monday. So who knows what we'll find out. He's supposed to be on the Katie Couric show.
Ugh.
On Thursday.
Good choice.
I don't know why he chose that. Why that seems like a weird choice.
Katie Couric sucks. You know who I would go with? Well, I'd probably either go with
Oprah.
Well, Oprah would be one. Pull a Lance Armstrong, maybe. What about Barbara Walters? There's no way she's going to ask any hard-hitting questions.
I would, you know, I would probably
that would be a cakewalk.
I'd probably go with Barbara Walters too. I think I would go with Barbara Walters or Well, the thing is though, if I had like really nothing to hide, I would probably go for somebody a little bit harder than Barbara Walters.
If I had nothing to hide, I would go with Keith Morrison.
If I had nothing to hide in this case, I would go with Chris Hansen. Because he knows a lot about stuff online.
That's true. He does.
Why not? Or, you know what? No. You know what? If I really wanted to get off easy, I would see about going on The Daily Show. Or like The Colbert Report.
Yeah, that's true.
That would be really easy. I feel like Katie Couric is just a weird choice.
It is an odd choice. This has been But You're Wrong. I am Greg DiNicola.
I'm Keith Burella.
Remember to check us out. New episodes every Wednesday and Saturday. Check us out on the Facebook at facebook.com/ButYou'reWrong. Check us out on the Twitter at BYWPodcast. And do we have anything else out there?
We should probably plug Dan's movie.
Yep, check out Here Comes the Bride on YouTube.
If you search Here Comes the Bride, it's still not going to be one of the top searches. I mean, it's getting there, but I think it's higher up on the page than it was. If you search Scrupulous Productions, I think there's a link on it somewhere on where I post the episodes at keithbodela.com, and I'm sure we've tweeted it and Facebooked it and all that fun stuff. So find that. Sounds good. And my books, Not My Problem and Work in Progress, are available on Amazon. You can just type in Bodela, BODAYLA, and that'll be the easiest way to find them because you'll get extremely limited results.
Thank you, everyone. And remember, no regrets and wash your hands. Because it's flu season.
Goodbye, everybody.